2 Corinthians chapter 11, we'll pick up where we left off in verse number 4, and we are slowing down a bit and looking at what God told this church concerning things that were fake and false and did not want them to be deceived by the devil. So we've been preaching a little series on fake Christianity out of verse number 4. And so if you join me there, 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 4, the Bible says, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." So as we're looking at fake Christianity, last week we looked at another Jesus, and we mentioned several of those, about 9 different Jesuses that the world recognizes or other people preach that are fakes. And then this morning, the second one he mentions here in verse number 4, he said, "Or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received." So there is a spirit to Christianity, but there is a fake spirit. Evidently, if you'll look at the reading of how God writes his book, he says, "If ye receive another spirit which ye have not received." It seems to me that the Apostle Paul is very concerned that the Corinthians are going to receive a false spirit. How do we put that together with the Word of God and give understanding? You mean, preacher, when I get saved, of course I receive God's Spirit. You mean after salvation I can be deceived into receiving another spirit? And I say from that verse, it certainly looks like you can. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4. Would you look there? 1 Timothy chapter 4. And with the other hand, grab Luke chapter 4. 1 Timothy 4. And Luke chapter 4, the danger of a false spirit. The danger of a false spirit. There is a false spirit today in many of our modern circles that name the name of Christ and say they're the Christian, they're followers of Christianity, but the spirit is not the spirit that's in this book. The Bible said in 1 Timothy chapter 4 in verse number 1, "Now the Spirit..." Of course, we know who that is. The Spirit, that's the third person, or the, we have to be careful with giving them a number, but the Godhead is God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Ghost that is mentioned here, he's speaking expressly. I want you to look at what he says in 1 Timothy 4:1. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly." That means you shouldn't miss it. That means it's not in the past tense even, it is in the present tense. Do you see that in your Bible? "The Spirit speaketh." That means he never quit talking, and if you'll listen to him, he'll talk to you and he'll talk to me through his word. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times..." I believe that's where we are, I really do. "That in the latter times some shall depart from the faith." Now look at it. "Giving heed to seducing spirits." Do you see that? "And doctrines of devils." So he's saying that people that were in the faith will depart from the faith because they give heed to seducing spirits, much like what the warning is in 2 Corinthians 11 about receiving another spirit and being deceived, the previous verse, verse 3, by Satan himself. Look at Luke chapter 4 with me, please. Luke chapter 4. What kind of spirit is that? You know, I'm convinced that the average Christian could not even recognize the false spirit, the fake spirit that the devil would present to people. Luke chapter 4, the Bible says in verse 33, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." Notice that the spirit of an unclean devil knew who Jesus was. But he did not want to have anything to do with him. Look at chapter 8, Luke chapter 8 and verse 29. So he describes a spirit of an unclean devil. Then in Luke chapter 8, verse 29, in Luke 8, 29, the Bible says, "For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for oftentimes it had caught him, and he was kept bound with chains and fetters, and he brake the bands and was driven of the devil into the wilderness." Here is an individual who had an unclean spirit. He was manifested in many ways in his life. He was bound with chains and fetters, but he had supernatural strength. He's driven into the wilderness. The Bible said in verse 27 that this man had devils a long time. He wear no clothes, neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. You know, there's so many characteristics of people that have given themselves over to false spirits, unclean spirits. One of the characteristics, they start taking their clothes off. I want to tell you this. Our generation is a generation that is a manifestation of a culture that is filled with unclean spirits. Anytime people have the affinity of take their clothes off and show their bodies, they are being controlled by another spirit. It's not a Holy Spirit. It's not God's Spirit. Matter of fact, he said in chapter 8 of this, or this same chapter, chapter 8, verse 2, in Luke 8, verse 2, "And certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils." When Jesus got around people, the devils left their lives. And you say, "Preacher, you believe that we have people that have evil spirits today and devilish spirits and unclean spirits?" I know they do. That's part of why our society is the way it is. That's why people go on rampages. You know, why do people kill and all these mass murders? They're filled with unclean spirits. They're filled with evil spirits. Why do people have all this abject wickedness in their lives and do all the things they do to their body, to themselves, and to other people? It's because evil spirits, unclean spirits, have control. We don't live in a clean society. We don't live in a moral society. We live in a corrupt, immoral, dirty, filthy mind, filthy heart, filthy lives, filthy hands, filthy mouths, and it's all a manifestation of the evil spirits that are controlling people. Now look, Hollywood has dumbed us down. People that have unclean spirits, their heads don't turn around. All right? And they don't vomit up and speak, you know, all kind of weird voices and float up to the top of the room. No, that's Hollywood's presentation. People that have evil spirits and unclean spirits are people, you can tell it because it's manifested from their life. It's manifested in the uncleanness of their life, the evil that comes out of their lives. And the problem is, you say, "Well, preacher, why would he mention that in 2 Corinthians? Why would he mention that in 1 Timothy up to the church about another spirit?" What kind of spirit is that? It's any spirit that would be opposite of the Holy Spirit. He said, if you've received another spirit, go to John chapter 7. How do we get the Spirit of God in the first place? In John chapter 7, and you can go ahead and get Ephesians chapter 1 with your other hand, you have to receive it. I'm very concerned that many of God's people open themselves up to other spirits. They receive things they ought not receive. And you could do that in a fake church service. By what's being presented, whether it's false doctrine or a false way to worship. In John chapter 7, the Bible says in verse 39, Jesus said, "But this spake he of the Spirit." Now we're talking about another spirit. And we're talking about the genuine article here in John 7, 39. "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified." Now, how do I receive the Holy Ghost? How do I receive the Spirit of God? I receive the Spirit of God when I believe on Him. You see that? "But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on Him should receive." In Ephesians chapter 1, he further instructs us about that in verse number 12, Ephesians 1:12, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, and whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. So we receive the Spirit of God when we first trust Christ, when we first believe that gospel of our salvation. The Holy Ghost enters into our body. We are born of that Spirit. We receive that Spirit because by faith, and he tells us that in Galatians chapter 3, verse 2, that we receive the Spirit by the hearing of faith. And through faith, he said later on in Galatians 3, through faith in Jesus Christ, through Christ, that Spirit of God comes into our heart. But you had to open up yourself to the Lord. You had to open your heart to the Lord. When you got saved, when you trusted Christ, you opened your heart to the gospel. You opened your heart to the Word of God. You opened your heart to Jesus. And yes, Jesus didn't, he did not violate your body. He did not force himself on you. You had to open your heart. You had to receive him. There had to be a welcome there for the Lord, you see. But the danger is, just as some people have opened their heart to the Lord, you can open up your heart to another spirit. And you can do that in a variety of ways. You can do that with evil things and unclean things. But there are hosts of people that have opened up themselves to another spirit in a quote-unquote Christian scenario situation. In other words, when Paul tells the Corinthian church, be careful not to receive another spirit, I don't think he's talking about them going out to the tombs where the maniac of Gadara was and receiving the devil into their heart and saying, yes, I want Satan to control my body. But somehow in some fake form of Christianity, just like this fake form of another Jesus and this fake form of another gospel in a Christian setting, in a religious setting, they could open their hearts up and before they know it, receive another spirit which is not the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do you know that there is a spirit to religion? And if you don't have biblical Christianity, you will just open up yourself to a spirit that is unclean and is not the Spirit of God. I'm reading several scriptures because I want you to see what God says about this other spirit. Would you go to 1 John chapter 4? It's all connected. Whether it's an unclean spirit of a devil, whether it's the evil spirit of a devil, or whether it's this fake spirit in Christianity, it's still a spirit. It's a false spirit that you're not to open up your heart to. He said in 1 John chapter 4. We'll identify them in just a moment, but I want to read the verses. He said in 1 John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, believe not every spirit. Do you see that? But try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You see the context of religion there. False prophets. You need to be able to discern the spirit. You need to be able to try the spirits. You make sure you don't believe every spirit because there's a fake spirit out there that clothes itself in Christianity. That's not the Spirit of God. Verse 2. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. And this is that spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. You're of God, little children, have overcome them because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world. And the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth not us. Look at the verse. Look at the verse. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. There is a spirit of error across our land that is the spirit of Antichrist that God does not want us to receive. You say, how do you spot it? It is opposite of the spirit of truth. He said in John 14, 17, the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. Do you understand that the world has a different spirit than Christianity had? There's a different spirit in the world than there is in the church of the living God. We have the Holy Spirit. They have an unclean spirit. We have the Spirit of truth. They have the spirit of error. We have the Spirit of Christ. They have the spirit of Antichrist. Now, we have the spirit of Antichrist all over our land and all over the world. You say, well, what is the spirit of Antichrist besides just error? Well, you understand what the Antichrist is going to do. If you've read the book of Revelation, you've read Daniel, and you read 2 Thessalonians, you understand what the Antichrist is going to do. He's going to get everybody together into one thing, one pile, one motive, one currency. One religion, one worship, one belief. Everybody's going to get together and be together. It is an ecumenical one world philosophy underneath the Antichrist. And all are together. None is accepted. None is excluded. Do you know the spirit of Christianity? There's a spirit in fake Christianity today that is the spirit of inclusivity that God would never exclude anyone. I got news for you. God does not let everybody in heaven. There is a spirit in fake Christianity that says that God is just acceptance of everything. No, that's the spirit of Antichrist. Everybody's not going to heaven. Everybody's not saved. Everybody is not a child of God. Everybody does not have the Holy Ghost in their body. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ wants to save everyone. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But there's the caveat. You and I have to repent. We've got to come to God on God's terms. God doesn't come to us on His terms. As a matter of fact, in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, even in that book in Corinthians, He said, you need to put out the sin. You need to put out that one that's filled with sin in your congregation. God is not acceptance of everything. Everything is not just come and we accept everything. That toleration of sin is not the spirit of Christianity. It is the spirit of Antichrist. That anything goes. That's that liberal, progressive Christian spirit, which is so anti-God. Man, we've got churches. I'll never forget. I was when the Supreme Court came down with their perverted, wicked, heinous decision against God and mankind on sodomite marriage. I was in Charleston area, and I drove around, and there were churches. There were churches flying the homosexual flag. Churches. Proudly on their steeples. Because it's the spirit of acceptance. And it's the spirit of, if you want to do it, it's fine. And there's no restrictions. And there's nothing off limits. That is not the spirit of Christianity. God does not accept sin. His spirit is a holy spirit. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. The spirit we've received is a Holy Spirit. The spirit of the world is. It doesn't matter. Do whatever you want to do. Live however you want to live. You can call yourself a Christian and do anything and be anything you want to be. Because after all, Jesus just accepts everything. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. He forgave the adulterous woman, but He told her to go and sin no more. He did not accept her lifestyle. He met people that had devils, but He didn't say, just come on with you devils, it'll be all right. He cast them out. So this other spirit, what could it be? Maybe it's the spirit of Antichrist that just accepts everything. It's spirit of error. That denies the literalness of the Bible. By the way, this liberal, progressive Christian spirit that's a fake spirit, they don't even believe the literalness of the Bible. Because what they have to do to even have what they call a Bible, which they're not going to have a King James Bible, because it's the only one that's got the word sodomite in it.
Right.
Anyway, that's free. You can have that. It's just free. that anyway, that they don't want the King James. They want a different Bible that sort of makes it read differently. But then what they have to do, they just have to deny the literalness of the Bible, because the Bible is so straight on sin. You can't read very far at all, and you know that God's not going to accept your sin. That's why Jesus Christ died for us. I mean, if he's just going to accept the way we live, why did Jesus have to die? Got a little book back there in the bookstore, and you can go pick it up. It's called On the Libertines. That's that fake spirit of Christianity that you can just live anyway. You know, God cares how you live. He cares about how you live. And you may have opened yourself up to a spirit, and I know false churches do it all the time, that tells you you can live any way you want to live, but that is not the spirit of Christianity. That is an unclean spirit trying to get you to live an unclean life. The Spirit of God does care about what you watch. The Spirit of God does care how you talk. The Spirit of God does care what you wear on your body. The Spirit of God does care about your relationships and your habits and the things that you do. And there is an unclean spirit that is not the Spirit of God in Christian circles that says, hey, it just doesn't matter. Hey, the Lord loves us all, and just live how you want to live. And you know what that is? That is opposite from the Spirit of God. And we know that if you've been with us in our study in the book of Galatians, in Galatians chapter 5, over and over and over, it's repeated so many times, you just have to be totally ignorant to miss it. God puts the Spirit here and he puts the flesh here, and he says the Spirit and the flesh are contrary one to the other. They're not the same. The Spirit of God is against the flesh. And the flesh is against the Spirit. And then you get all these works of the flesh that are named in Galatians 5. And then after that, you've got the fruit of the Spirit that's named. It shows you the opposite. The spirit of the flesh and the Spirit of God are totally opposite. And anything that would tell you to embellish whatever your flesh wants to do is another spirit. It's not God's Spirit. Because the Spirit of God will make you run from the flesh. The Spirit of God will put down that flesh. And so we have a liberal, progressive spirit that says, live any way you want to live. We're accepting of sin. We're accepting of everything. That's not the Spirit of God. Go to Romans chapter 1 and 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Along with this, Romans chapter 1, verse number 4. The Bible says in Romans 1, 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Our spirit is a spirit of holiness. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. A spirit of holiness. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says in verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world. You see that? But the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Look at verse 14. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Now those verses say this. Our spirit, the true spirit of Christianity, is a spirit of holiness. It is the spirit which is of God. And the spirit of the world cannot receive the spirit of God. And the spirit of the world says, the things of the spirit of God, they're foolishness to me. I don't understand them. I'm not even comfortable with them. Today in modern Christianity, you have the attempt to make Christianity acceptable to all the spirit of the world. In other words, we want the world to come in the church and not feel uncomfortable. We want the world to come in the church and feel just like they would feel at the house. We want the world to come to church and it'll be no different from the lives they live, because we don't want them to think we're radical or we're... Look, guys, the Bible says the natural man can't receive the things. They're foolishness to him. He doesn't understand them. The spirit of the world is what he understands. But we've not received the spirit of the world. And the world cannot receive our spirit unless they get saved. So this is what the modern church has done. They come in and they receive the same spirit that they get on their radio dial in their car. Guys, listen to me. Do you understand there's a spirit in music? You understand that? That there is music that has been written to fornicate to. You do understand that, right? I mean, any of us who dated understands what the purpose of all the love songs are. There's a spirit behind that. Yeah. There's a romance behind that. Right? If you don't understand that there's a spirit in music, you need to stop and take notice. I mean, when the guy is trying to get close to the girl, he don't put Metallica on. You know why? That's a different spirit. There's music that people have to bring forth this romance, this spirit of intimacy, and then there's music that is written to go to war. I mean, if you're in the military, you know that. I mean, they're beating and playing the drums. Amen. And if you're from good old Scotland, they're playing the bagpipes. There's a spirit behind that. Some of you can't stand the bagpipes. And that's great. You know what? You're crazy. You play the bagpipes enough, man, I'm ready to go charge. Amen. Before they charge, they play music. Why? There's a spirit behind that. There's a spirit with that. You know, there's supposed to be a spirit of holiness with our music that the world will not receive, and that the world does not understand, and it's foolishness to the world. I'll never forget, a young man came in our church in Romania when we were missionaries there. He walked in, and he's in college, and he sat down, and he's lost. Never been in a church in his life. He walked out and I said, "How'd you like the service?" He said, "Well," he was real honest. He said, "It's okay. Preaching was all right." He said, "I don't know why you have to be so loud," but he said, "But the one thing I didn't really get," he said, "Man, your music is awful." I said, "You know why you think our music is awful?" He said, "No." I said, "It's not for you. It's for God. It has a different spirit." You know what we got in the modern church? We got, look, you say, "Oh, it's just the words." No, brother. Music says a whole lot without one line of lyrics. There's a spirit behind music. If you don't believe that, you need to go back and grab our preaching from Daniel chapter 3 when they had real worship music. You know what the worship music was? It was devil worship music. They had the band up there, and it called them all to worship a false god. You need to go back and look how when they gathered around that calf that Aaron built for them, they had music with it. They're worshiping, but just worshiping the wrong thing. Look, man, if your music sounds, amen, like the Eagles or whatever the modern radio station is on the dial, that ain't God's music. That's a different spirit. You know, some of God's people, they would not tolerate it. If I got a bunch of long-haired hippies up here, you know the Bible does talk about the Song of Fools. That's in Ecclesiastes. He tells us in chapter 7, verse 5, you know, there's a song of fools. You know, fools sing it. The message is foolish. The music itself is foolish. If I got a bunch of long-haired hippies up here and had them with electric guitars and we just started rocking out and playing, there's some of you, I would hope that'd be most of you'd get up and walk out. Then why is it on your radio? I mean, what gives? You see, what he's saying, preacher, here's what I'm saying. The wrong music puts another spirit in you. Could it be that's one of the things he's trying to tell the Corinthians? Their music should be different. Their worship should be different. You should not be comfortable with that same old lifestyle and that same old spirit and those same, that same old stuff. Look, if I be a man of God, I'm telling you this morning that the churches today in our society, they're even conservative churches, they're going to have one service to give one spirit and another service to give the older people a spirit. And I'm telling you, it's not God's spirit. And it affects your life. Affects how you think. Affects how you live. Look at 1 Corinthians. You're there in chapter 14. So this rock and roll worship spirit is not God's spirit of holiness. I asked a guy one time. I said, do you not question your church service? That every Christian for the last 1900 years would not have been comfortable in your church service and could not worship like you're worshiping. I think if you went back and somebody from the 1700s walked in our church service, I think they could still worship God. I think if somebody had the book of Acts, we'd all look different to them. We'd all be weird to them. But I think if they came and sat right here and we sang Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine, I think they'd be all right. But I'm telling you, brethren, for 1900 years, for all of God's people, the way they worshiped, they didn't worship like they're worshiping now in the average church. Does that not make anybody question? Do you really think that God is going to let these people, you think Jesus is going to get up in heaven and say, all right, rock us out one today up here in heaven? Do you think that would happen? That's not going to happen. So if I can't do it in heaven, why would I do it down here? This is supposed to be a little touch of heaven. Amen. So he says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, this is the chapter on tongues. Verse 32, the Bible says, and the spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets. That means simply the prophet is never out of control. His spirit never gets out of control. Look at the verse. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophets. In other words, my spirit never gets out of control. I'm always under control if God is in control of me. The spirit of the prophets are subject to the prophets, verse 33. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Look at the last verse, verse 40. Let all things be done decently and in order. So the spirit in the church is supposed to be one of orderliness. The spirit in the churches are supposed to be one of not of confusion. The spirit that God brings in the church is not a spirit that's out of control, but that's under control to Jesus. You know, the spirit would never get you out of control. Anytime, look, mark it down. In a church service or out of a church service. Anytime you're out of control, another spirit's got a hold of you. It could be anger. Are you listening to me? Am I talking to anybody that ever gets out of control or knows anybody else that gets out of control? Whenever you're out of control, another spirit's got a hold of you. Another spirit's got a hold of your tongue, got a hold of your mind, got a hold of your heart, and so you're just out of control. That same thing is true that would be true in a church. You know, we've had churches that they believe that you just get out of control and the Spirit of God takes over you. And we've had movements, and it's sort of gone a little bit away now, which is a blessing, where people get down front on the altar and bark like dogs. That's not the Spirit of God. Where they laugh uncontrollably, that they'd fall down backwards and they'd swoon. You know, the only time somebody fell down backwards was the enemy of Jesus Christ when they came in the garden. People that worship God, they fell forward. They got on their face. You know why the modern day charismatic movement never fell forward? Because you bust your nose. You get what I just said? They fall the other way. And I think maybe the modern day false spirit of Christianity, charismatic movement, has gone away because I guess COVID sort of. I mean, if you could heal people, you'd take that one away that quick. If we had the power to stop disease, why would we not have stopped COVID so we could keep having church? People don't have that power. That's a false spirit. And that charismatic spirit, the modern day charismatic spirit, that is not the spirit of God. That is a spirit that gets you out of control. And the babbling and all that. This chapter on tongues is not even about all that babbling. It's about speaking in other languages. And making sure everybody in the congregation understands the things that are being said. That's why they have to interpret those tongues, those languages. It's not an out of control. Go to Luke chapter 9. I've got to give you this. You said, preacher, well, I'm glad you said all that. You know, no liberal progressive spirit, no rock and roll worship spirit, no charismatic spirit. Well, this is where it'll probably hit some of us. There's another fake spirit of Christianity. And if we're not careful, even the closest disciples will succumb and receive this false spirit. Luke chapter 9. The Bible says in verse 51, and it came to pass when the time was come that he should be received up. He steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem and sent messengers before his face. And they went and entered into a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said, Lord, wilt thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them, even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit ye are of. For the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. You know, this fake spirit of Christianity can also manifest itself in the fact that we just don't care for the enemies of God, and we would just rather them soon to be killed and destroyed as they would be saved. See how it's much more quiet on that one? Jesus looked at two of his key disciples, I mean, inner circle of three, Peter, James, and John. And they probably, if this was a village of the Jews, they may not have wanted to call down fire. You notice this is a village of the Samaritans. All these stinking Samaritans, man, their lives are such a mess anyway. And Jesus, they don't want you. Jesus, James, and John. It was not one of them, both of them. They can't. Jesus, I tell you what, if you want us to, just say the word and we'll call fire down from heaven like Elijah did and we'll destroy them all. And Jesus says, you don't know what kind of spirit you got. You don't have my spirit. You don't have a Christian spirit. You don't have a right spirit. You got a false spirit. Because when you would rather see somebody destroyed than saved, your spirit is not the spirit of Christianity. You listen to me? Look, man, I'm against everything. I'm against the tattoos. I'm against the transgender stuff. I'm against homosexual stuff. I'm against the booze and the pornography and the adultery and the fornication crowd and the ecumenical movement and all these wackos that are taking charge of the land. But you know what? I want them to get saved. I'm not sitting back waiting on God, just go ahead and kill them all and send them to hell. And you know, if we're not careful, when we pass by one of those sinners, we could have the spirit where we just as soon, we wouldn't do this. We wouldn't want to kill them. We wouldn't want to call fire down from heaven. But when we just pass them by and we're not interested in their soul, when we pass them by and we don't have the compassionate spirit of Jesus Christ, we don't have the spirit of Christianity. We have another spirit. What I'm telling you is when we don't have a compassionate spirit, church, we have a false spirit. Oh, Jesus, they didn't want you. I mean, can you imagine Jesus Christ? If Jesus Christ was here today, they would treat him just like they did when he was here before. He'd come to Huntsville and they'd say, we don't want you here. That's right. And I can see how it can make the disciples mad. They don't want Jesus. And I can see how it makes you mad. They hate the Bible and they hate what's true and they hate what's right. And they hate all the stuff that's made our country great and is decent and honorable and moral and good. And what a crowd and all this wickedness and aborting babies and doing all this stuff. But God still wants to save their soul. And if we're not careful, we can get the wrong spirit. There'd be no compassion. And Jesus looked at James and John and said, "You're full of the Spirit, all right, but it's not mine. For the Son of Man is come to save men's lives. The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives. I didn't come here to send people to hell. I didn't come here to destroy people. Came here to save them." And part of that true compassionate spirit of Christianity just goes to our own contrite and humble spirit that we ought to always carry with us, that Isaiah 57:15 talks about they that are of contrite and of a humble spirit. And if we'd keep the spirit of Jesus Christ instead of just wanting to lash out and do, we would stop and say, "Yes, but they got a soul that's going to go to heaven or hell. And what manner of spirit am I?" You know, you try to talk to people about Jesus, you knock on doors, you try to be a witness, and they say, "Oh, get away. We don't care what you Bible thumpers, you fanatics, you people, just get away." And we can get the attitude saying, "Great." You don't care to listen, I don't care for you. Guys, it's really easy to get the wrong spirit. And Jesus' spirit was one of compassion. I give you the last thing. We're done this morning. Go to Romans chapter 8. There's one more spirit that's not the spirit of Christianity. It's not a liberal, progressive spirit that accepts sin and questions the truth of the Bible. It's not a rock and roll worship or fleshly spirit. No, it's the spirit of holiness. It's not an out of control spirit. It's not a destructive spirit, but yet a compassionate one. And then lastly, Romans chapter 8, the Bible says in verse 15, Romans 8:15, look at it with me, please. "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." God says the spirit that I gave you is this spirit of home, this spirit of your Father, this spirit that you know your Father has everything under control and He's strong and mighty, and that relationship is sweet and it's tender and it's dear and it's good. And you have that home relationship, that family relationship with God. That's the spirit I gave you. It's the spirit of adoption. And yet He says there's another spirit. And that's that spirit of bondage. And that is that spirit of fear. And I remind you, Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, God hath not given us the spirit of fear. If you have the spirit of fear, that did not come from God. That's another spirit. God doesn't want you afraid. You say, "Well, I might die." We are all going to die. But we're supposed to die unafraid. We're supposed to die with the Father on our mind and the Father on our lips and the Father on our heart. God didn't want us afraid to live. He didn't want us to be afraid to die. That song, "In Christ Alone," it says, "No fear in life and no fear in death." The spirit that God gives to us is the spirit of adoption. It's the family spirit. It's the sweet spirit of God. It's not a spirit of bondage and a spirit of fear and a spirit of depression. And if you've got this morning, I invite you to come and ask you just to drop it off here at the altar, amen, and pick up a different spirit. You say, "Why? Why do people have all these false spirits?" We open up our heart to them.
Maybe through somebody we've talked to. Maybe through a screen. Maybe through the news. Maybe through the events of life. But we open up our heart to it.
And God says to the Corinthian church, have you received another spirit? Whew. Do you have the fullness of the Spirit of God? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? Is the Holy Ghost controlling you? Are you full of Him? Is He controlling your life? Do you have that spirit of truth and that spirit of holiness and that spirit of adoption? Or if somewhere down the road you grabbed hold of the spirit of the world, or somewhere down the road you grabbed hold of the spirit of fear. Because if you receive another spirit, it's going to affect your whole life. You know, the Holy Ghost is supposed to affect our life. You know, the only way we can live the Christian life is by the Spirit of God that lives within us. Sir, ma'am, you cannot live the Christian life. None of us can live the Christian life. Only one person ever lived the Christian life, and that was Jesus. But He lives it over and over again in every one of us as He lives inside of us, and His Spirit is inside of us. And we need to open up our heart, and it ought to change our life. It affects our life. He affects our thinking. But yet, if I receive another spirit, you know what I think? I think sometimes when we gather together in church, that the power of God doesn't move and the work of God isn't fresh and there's not joy and smiles and rejoicing and shouting and praising in response to the Lord and the sweetness of the Spirit. Because a lot of times God's people walk into a church service with another spirit. I don't know about you, but I don't want another spirit. I just want His Spirit. Do you have it this morning? Do you have the Spirit of God in you this morning? Have you trusted Christ, believed on Him? Are you saved? Does the Holy Ghost live within you? If so, let's reject those other spirits.